The National Broadcasting Company now takes you to the ballroom of Hotel Statler in Cleveland, Ohio. More than 1,000 YMCA leaders from the United States, Canada, and foreign lands are gathered here to launch the international Buildings for Brotherhood campaign of the YMCAs to complete 116 projects in 35 countries. The worldwide goal is $16 million, of which North America's Ys are undertaking to raise a $5 million share. Mr. Curtis Lee Smith, president of the Cleveland Chamber of Commerce, has just introduced the distinguished speaker for the occasion, making one of his rare public appearances, the Secretary General of the United Nations, the Honorable Dag Hammarskjöld.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I was very glad indeed to accept the invitation to meet with you tonight as you inaugurate a campaign with the purpose of strengthening international friendship through a united effort to help the youth of the world. It is a further pleasure to me that among your guests are representatives from many parts of this country, as well as from Canada. The objectives of the program being undertaken by the International Committee of the Young Men's Christian Associations have points in common with those which the United Nations itself pursues in many lands. The aim sought by you reflects some of the aspirations which we in the United Nations have set for ourselves. Indeed, it may be said to be upon the concept of brotherhood, a concept involving mutual understanding and respect, that the Charter of the United Nations was written and the organization founded. With this parallel in mind, I would like, if I may, to join with you in looking toward the future tonight. The force and the urgency of events, essentially political, and the onrush of vast scientific discoveries of overwhelming potential power have, during the last decade, tended to distract our attention from the simpler truths and the human values without which the fraternity we all desire cannot emerge. We have lived in a world harassed by a sense of insecurity. Perhaps it was to be expected, therefore, that such a large part of our resources, energies, and ingenuity should have been predominantly engaged by our fears rather than by our belief in man's capacity to build a better future. However, I do not believe that we can much longer answer with half-hearted and timid measures the positive demands of the present. They are here, and they must be faced. The adequacy of our response to them will in great measure determine the future. They spring largely from two major revolutionary developments of our time. First, the increasing fulfillment in the form of new and independent nations of the urge to self-determination. And second, the realization of a vast majority of mankind that they too may improve their economic and social conditions by establishing their claim to share in the benefits of a modern technology. These two trends are, of course, intimately related, and they should be met with sympathy, with vision, with humanity. The goal of the International Committee of the YMCA, which envisages the construction, as we know, of more than 100 buildings in 33 countries, dedicated to the service, education, and training of youth, is encouraging evidence of this very spirit. The United Nations, with far less publicity than attends its endeavors in the political field, is working in the same spirit to meet the same needs. I refer especially to activities of the organization that are directed at meeting the demands springing from those two major revolutionary developments to which I have just referred. The Technical Assistance Program of the United Nations was created less than 10 years ago. Limited in resources and modest in scope, though it still is, It provides tangible proof that effective economic and social cooperation can be developed through the United Nations between donor and recipient countries as equals in the management of projects based on the principle of mutual help. Thus, through the United Nations and the specialized agencies, over 5,000 technicians have been made available to more than 130 countries and territories in projects ranging from the improvement of agricultural methods and health and education standards to advanced techniques of large-scale production and financial administration. Some 1,000 fellowships have been awarded. Seminars and study tours have been conducted. Pilot projects have been undertaken. The United Nations General Assembly took action at its last session, which I hope will open the way to further development of such programs in the future. I shall return to these possibilities later. But I believe it would be useful first to turn our attention to the needs of the communities of people around the world, which all these programs are created to serve. In a real sense, our program tonight centers upon the community, whether that community be urban or rural. Your institutions serve not only the youth of the cities, but reach into the rural areas where the impact of your constructive programs is also felt. The majority of communities in the world are inhabited by people who lack the normal opportunities for reasonable well-being and progress. The most recent United Nations report on the world social situation indicates that more than half of the population of the world is still living at levels which deny them reasonable freedom from preventable diseases, a diet adequate to physical well-being, a dwelling that meets basic human needs, the education necessary for improvement, and development of conditions of work that are technically efficient, economically rewarding, and socially satisfactory. The impact of these problems upon each other can best be seen at a community level, and it can best be approached on a planned and coordinated basis at the community level. One of the most important and difficult problems for the economically less developed countries is to achieve balanced and integrated programs of development for the rural and urban sectors of their population. In the planning of technical assistance and economic aid programs, more attention must be directed to that half of the population of the world which continues to live on the bare margins of subsistence in the rural villages of the economically underdeveloped areas. The future economic and social development of these areas will depend on the ways in which it will be found possible for the people living there to raise their level of living within the framework of national economic and social progress with as much reliance as possible on their own effort. We must, I'm convinced, place increased emphasis on what has become known as community development in helping to meet this need. In order to guide the rural areas toward more modern forms of social and economic existence, community development programs may play the central role of mobilizing simultaneously the potential human and natural resources which ultimately will make possible a substantial improvement in the levels of living of the people concerned. Such programs are most soundly devised when they utilize fully local leadership, initiative, and interest. These local resources can only be put into motion by a national initiative and applied through a combination of national and local effort with such help as may be necessary from the world community. The beginning must be made with an effort to grow more food, to improve sanitation and health, to educate adults as well as children, to stimulate rural arts and crafts. But whatever the beginning, unless all the elements of balanced economic and social development are eventually encompassed, the program will fall short even in reaching specific technical goals. These community development programs are the product of the difficult processes of trial and error by which nations are seeking to fulfill the promise of independence and to narrow the gap in material and technological progress between themselves and their more fortunate neighbors. We have seen such programs bear fruitful results all across Southeast Asia. The Indian Community Projects and the Village Aid Program in Pakistan are now very well known. The Community School Program in the Philippines and the Community Development Program in Korea have slightly different emphasis, but the common purpose of raising standards of living at the village level is central to all of them. In many of the Asian programs, the United Nations has contributed technical aid alongside the larger resources of the United States bilateral program and the important contributions of the Ford Foundation. The United Nations has played a considerable role in introducing the concept of community development programs at both national and local governmental levels in five Middle East countries within the last 5 years. Governments have also built upon the foundations laid by such organizations as yours, as the YMCA and the YWCA, and the Near East Foundation. The importance of combining the resources of the people themselves with the efforts of voluntary organizations and governmental services can hardly be overemphasized if we are to achieve our political, economic, and social objectives throughout those vast regions of the world which are economically underdeveloped. Such programs of community development are a necessary complement to national economic programs, which naturally emphasize industrial development, power, and transport. I would like to turn now to another field in which international cooperation is needed. This is the task of building up a class of national administrators in countries where an independent administrative tradition is lacking. A country without a trained civil service finds itself at a grave disadvantage, all the more so when it is embarking on major schemes of economic and social development and wishes to obtain and use to the best advantage international assistance for its projects. Many new countries lack a social structure which permits a corps of administrators to be rapidly recruited. Moreover, the process of building up trained cadre of administrators is a long one, and the competing demands for the services of the better trained citizens of a young country are considerable. Here is an area where the multinational approach of the United Nations could be put to good use. New countries whose attachment to the principle of self-determination is strongest can accept most easily help through an international cooperative scheme, can accept it much more easily than from an individual country, particularly in the sensitive area of government. I have suggested developing a United Nations International Administrative Service through which such countries could employ administrators of high caliber. Recruited by the United Nations, they would have to have the sense of an international mission, but they would be solely responsible to the governments to which they were assigned. Such a service, if it comes about, would be closely linked with training facilities aimed at strengthening and enlarging the country's own corps of administrators. I hope, and I hope sincerely, that at least a start to toward the development of such a service can be made soon. The General Assembly at its last session decided to establish a United Nations Special Fund, which will place at the disposal of the United Nations additional resources to meet some of the urgent needs of the underdeveloped countries, which cannot now be met by the existing United Nations programs. It will be the task of the fund to assist in carrying out extensive service of natural resources and establishing training, research, and pilot demonstration projects. It will thus pave the way for the establishment of those basic facilities which directly lead to the expansion of national productive capacity and to investments of all types, private and public, national and international. This new United Nations venture can have a commanding influence on the further development of the United Nations technical assistance and other activities. The technical assistance program, in an effort to achieve widest participation of the underdeveloped countries in its operations, often has had to spread thinly its limited, far too limited resources. The new fund will enable us to consider a number of projects, some embracing several countries or even an entire region. A striking example of how these resources could be used may be witnessed now in the United Nations activities in surveying the vast resources of the lower Mekong River. It's in Southeast Asia, as you may know. When developed, these resources could bring immense benefit to four countries through which this great river flows: Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, and Vietnam. The special fund, when established, will represent a significant step forward. Associated with the lending operations of the International Bank and with the United Nations programs of technical assistance, it will be an important link in the chain of international action which is being forged to assist countries in their economic development. The United Nations is a sensitive barometer of the impact of change. Not long ago from Asia, more recently from Africa, new states became members of the United Nations. These states are lending their thought and persuasion to the understanding of the large issues that affect the peace and stability of the world community. The United Nations is stronger for their presence. But they have also come onto the international scene with expectations, and justified expectations, of their own. A newly independent state knows that in an international forum it has the opportunity to discuss the problems which impede or retard the development of its individual life, and it knows that it will be heard. It likewise believes that in the United Nations lies its best hope of finding the assistance which will enable it to achieve progress and well-being in terms acceptable to its sense of nationhood and its search for the realities of freedom. So, as the organization becomes more universal, the burden of its responsibility increases, and the areas where it must strive to further its basic purposes expand. I've spoken here of problems that will not be resolved for many, many years to come. If the peoples of the world are to meet this larger challenge in the same spirit which has animated the launching of your campaign for Buildings for Brotherhood, we shall need to redress the present balance between our fears and our belief in man's future. Prudence is, in any case, a better defense against danger than fear. More important still, we should direct more of our attention to efforts to build, with courage and a true sense of brotherhood, the kind of world in which there will be a better chance for all to live a life more worthy of man's promise than it is within their reach today. For most of us, I think the United Nations symbolizes today the hope of a more peaceful world. But the peacemaking consists of more than direct efforts to bring the arms race under control and to settle conflicts among the nations by negotiation instead of by war. Progress in the search for peace depends to a large extent upon the understanding of people like yourselves of the importance to peace of such programs as I have discussed with you tonight, and upon your support for the sustained endeavor that will be necessary if they are to be more adequate to the need than they are today. Thank you.
Dr. Hammarskjöld, I think this rising ovation shows the appreciation of the people of Cleveland, of Ohio, and of the nation of your very fine address, and particularly the parallel that you have drawn between the international work of the YMCA and your own fine work in the United Nations.
The National Broadcasting Company has just brought you a talk from Cleveland, Ohio. In the concluding remarks, Mr. Curtis Lee Smith of the Cleveland Chamber of Commerce thanked the Honorable Doug Hammarskjöld, Secretary General of the United Nations, who has just addressed more than 1,000 YMCA leaders from the United States, Canada, and foreign lands on the occasion of the launching of the Buildings for Brotherhood campaign of the YMCAs to complete 116 projects in 35 countries. The international goal is $16 million, of which North America-wise are undertaking to raise a $5 million share. Tonight's meeting was sponsored by the International Committee of the Young Men's Christian Associations of North America and the YMCA of Cleveland. This is the NBC Radio Network.